The Girl from Home, written by Adam Mitzner and read by Jonathan Walker.
Sitting in a prison in East Carlisle, Jonathan recalls that he often considered his hometown a prison unto itself, and it seems redundant for him to actually be incarcerated within it. Only a few months ago, a future of endless wealth and possibilities awaited him. But that was so far behind him now, it felt as if he'd only imagined it. His more recent circumstances had required acceptance that his freedom might have an expiration date. But he had assumed that if he did go away, it would be a short stint, something to burnish his biography, like the way some people talk about their time in the army. But this wasn't that. This was a murder charge. The rest of his life in a steel box. The key was held by Jackie, the girl from home whom Jonathan had loved from afar all those years ago. Yesterday he thought of her as his savior, but today she might become his prosecutor. The thought of being caged made people do things they might not have ever conceived of doing before. Part 1. March through December. Chapter 1. March. Jonathan Kane's morning routine is to rise at 5 o'clock and run a 7-mile loop along the Hudson River. It is a point of pride that the circuit never takes him longer than 45 minutes, and he's always back to his apartment in cool-down mode by 6. Then he makes himself a health shake with the $2,500 commercial blender he purchased 3 months ago. It's at least the 7th he's had in the last 2 years, as he replaces them whenever he hears there is a better one on the market. He sips nutrients while checking the market positions from the club chair beside the window that captures a panoramic view of the harbor, the Statue of Liberty in the distance. It is in these moments that Jonathan feels the full magnitude of all he's accomplished and imagines all that still awaits his capture. He finds it ridiculous whenever someone suggests that he has it all. If there's one thing Jonathan Kane knows with the utmost certainty, it's that there's so much more still to obtain. This morning's quiet is interrupted by a phone call from Norman Solomon, a mid-level investor in the hedge fund Jonathan runs under the auspices of the international investment bank Harper, Sawyer & Company. Jonathan's tempted to let Solomon's call go straight to voicemail. But even though he finds Solomon to be a first-class idiot, the man still controls a few $100 million. And for all Jonathan knows, Solomon is calling to give him a little more of that money to invest. "Norm, my man," Jonathan says jovially. Jonathan is a firm believer that clients are vain enough to believe he's actually thrilled to hear from them before waking hours. In Solomon's case, that went double. "Did you see it?" Solomon says, panic in his voice. "Page 3, bottom left." "Of course I saw it," Jonathan replies, even though he has no idea what Solomon is talking about. Jonathan's determined to have Norm Solomon, and all investors for that matter, believe that he knows everything that goes on in the world well before it happens. Investors are like children in that way. In order to sleep at night, they have to believe their fund manager is able to protect them from any danger. Jonathan taps the trackpad on his laptop and navigates to the Wall Street Journal's homepage. Once there, he scrolls through the top stories. There's nothing on page 3 of the journal that causes Jonathan any concern, or has anything to do with the investments made by his fund. The disconnect might be because a dinosaur like Solomon still reads the print version, which has a different pagination than the online edition. The other possibility is that Solomon wasn't referencing the journal at all. It would be just like Solomon to think that the Financial Times was the source of go-to information. Unable to find what the hell Solomon is talking about, Jonathan is about to go into full BS mode.